we are being built into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And what it is, what it means for us to have the presence of God as He dwells in us as a part of the body of Christ, being built in that into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. We continually press towards having the presence of the Lord with us. That is the distinguishing factor. So this morning I have entitled the message, Mysteries Revealed, and it is from Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 13. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole of that passage, and then we will go back and look at some of the specifics of this here. When I think of all of this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the specific responsibility of extending His grace to you Gentiles, as I briefly wrote earlier, God Himself revealed His mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by His Spirit, He has revealed it to His holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Please extend your grace to me while I deal with a little throat issue this morning. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the Creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. Okay, so the things that I want to begin to show you in this is, first of all, what we were calling the mysterious plan revealed. And Paul speaks about how God's grace has been extended to the Gentiles. And this, again, was a mysterious plan that was revealed to Paul. He declared this, you know, this isn't my own opinion. It's not a doctrine that I have been taught by others. It isn't gathered, actually, even from the ancient prophets. This was something that he had received as an immediate revelation from God. And he said, I've written to you about this. And we see that really in chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. We'll not go through that, but if you want to just make note of that, he had referred to what he had said previously, a revelation from God. Again, it was a direct revelation, and really a good explanation of this comes from Galatians chapter 1 through 3. And keep your place in Ephesians. You know, it's just a couple pages away, actually. But if you want to turn back to Galatians chapter 1, we're going to see a significant explanation of Paul's revelation that he had received directly from Christ Jesus and not from others, not from being taught by others. He says, let me see if I can find the verse. In verse 12, Galatians chapter 1, he says, I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Okay, so we find out that when Paul was first received his visitation of the Lord, he was on his way to Damascus to bring persecution against the church. In fact, he makes mention of that as well, of what he was actually doing and how the Lord revealed himself to Paul. But then he didn't go and sit under the other apostles at that time. He went away. He was drawn away by the Lord. In fact, it says that that he went off to Damascus, and then he was spent time in Arabia. We'll get a little bit of a timeline here. But he says, again, he says, I received my message from no human source. And, okay, then I'm just looking to see here which verse refers to this. But, okay, in verse 13, he says, you know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. So this was the kind of person that Paul was, or as his name was then, as Saul. He was doing his best to destroy the church. He was persecuting the church. In fact, at the revelation of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Jesus made the distinction there that as he was persecuting the church, he was actually persecuting Jesus. And because of this, because of the activity of Paul, he saw himself as, he'll say it in this passage of Ephesians, he'll say about himself, he is the least deserving among people. When he received this revelation of Jesus and this mysterious plan revealed, he called himself the least deserving one to receive it. He wasn't a follower of Jesus. He wasn't a disciple after Jesus. He was, in fact, persecuting against it. So he called himself the least deserving. And in another place, he calls himself the least of all the apostles. And another place, he calls himself the chief sinner. And there's something for us to acknowledge in that for ourselves. When we're talking about responding to the Lord's plan for us in our lives, oftentimes we may falsely consider our past and go, well, how could I be worthy of such a thing because of the things that I have done? You know, even being against God or against the church or against Christ. And we'll rule ourselves out, falsely ruling ourselves out because of our past. You know, and something I need to bring this up too, because I felt the Lord prompting me this way as I was preparing this, that I sense that there are some amongst us who it may not be because of what you have done, but it may be because of what has been done to you that would cause you to disqualify yourself, saying, you know, I have been abused, or I have been made to be dirty, or something like that. In a wrong way, you will falsely disqualify yourself from being called to things that are beyond your ability to reason or think, even imagine. I just felt like the Lord was saying, do not disqualify yourself, as Paul was not disqualified, even though he was a persecutor against the church, the least of all to receive this revelation, the least worthy to receive this revelation, and yet he did. We'll go on to see how that Paul says, before I was born, God chose me. In verse 15 of Galatians 1, even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. So, you know, how awesome is that? Before Paul was even born, you know, God knew he was going to be a persecutor against the church. But even before his birth, God called him to be one who would proclaim this grace of God to the Gentiles, who would preach the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles. The very people that Paul thought were below him as being a Pharisee of all Pharisees, being a Jew of all Jews, you know, his perspective and his understanding was completely changed by that direct revelation that he received from the Lord. And so also down in verse 2, it says, chapter 2, he says, then 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas, and Titus came along too. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. While I was there, I met privately with those considered to be leaders of the church and shared with them the message I had been preaching to the Gentiles. So see, again, Paul did not go to Jerusalem and sit under the apostles to get the message that he was preaching. He received a direct revelation from Jesus Christ, started preaching that message among the Gentiles, and we'll see exactly what that message was. But he says, I went to Jerusalem, I shared with them what I had been preaching among the Gentiles. Again, this was 14 years later after he had received the Lord or after he had had his conversion experience. And he says here, I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement for fear that my efforts had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing. So he wanted to make sure, are we on the same page, guys? Are we preaching the same message? Because, you know, I don't want to be out there preaching this freedom in Christ Jesus and you guys saying something different. He didn't go to get an okay from them. He went to see if they were preaching the same thing as he was or if they agreed with what he was saying. And it says in verse 3, and they supported me and did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised, although he was a Gentile. So we're going to, you know, we're getting into some of the details of what some of the issues were back then. I'll give a little bit more of that later. But so again, 14 years later, he went to Jerusalem. He met with the leaders of the church, and it says he wanted to make sure that they were in agreement, not running the race for nothing. Okay, we'll also see in Galatians, in chapter 2 and verse 4, it says even that question came up only because some so-called Christians there, false ones really, who were secretly brought in, they sneaked in to spy on us and take away the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations. But we refused to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message among you. So again, here we see false Christians wanted to enslave us and force us to follow Jewish regulations. Okay, then I'm going to have you go down to verse 11. You see how there was really pressure happening. And it was because of an old revelation. The old revelation was that people could be right with God if they became Jewish. If they changed and became Jewish and became circumcised, then they could be right with God. That was the old revelation. And Paul had received a new revelation, but there was still a lot of pressure regarding this old revelation or this old understanding of what the prophets were saying. The old understanding was that you could be right with God if you became Jewish. So there was still a lot of temptation or a lot of pressure to continue on with that message. In fact, even Peter comes under this temptation or this pressure, maybe call it peer pressure, to go back to that old understanding. Verse 11 in chapter 2, it says, when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face. Okay, here's the Apostle Paul, received direct revelation from Jesus, and he is so bold as to oppose Peter, the one who stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached that message that brought in 3,000 people on that day, and it continued to grow from there. Paul opposes him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who were not circumcised, but afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. So not only Peter, but also Barnabas was one who was persuaded or pressured back into the old way of thinking that in order to be right with God, you have to become Jewish, you have to be circumcised. And so there was this ongoing pressure, again, that people wanting to be or wanting to enslave others to force them to follow the Jewish regulations. Okay, so he talks about opposing Peter, excuse me, about his hypocrisy. And then I'm going to have you skip to verse 16 of Galatians 2. It says in verse 16, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. Here's coming a revelation that Paul received that he had to fight for. He had to continue to establish this truth and this reality when there was pressure to go back to an old system. We know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. That's the revelation that came. No one will ever be made right with God by following or by obeying the law. He goes on to say, if we could, verse 17, but suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ Jesus, we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean that Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner. If I rebuild the old system of law, I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all of its requirements so that I might live for God. Okay, I guess that's all that I'm going to share in that part there. But it goes on to say, if we could be saved by the law, that there would be no need for Christ to die. That's in verse 21. I do want to read that. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. He said it would have been worthless. We could have been saved by obedience. And Charlie shared that this morning from Ephesians, where it says that we are saved by grace, not by our own works. We are not saved by our own works. All right. So then let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. There's a lot of good in Galatians, and we'll touch back in Galatians some more here, so we're going to kind of go back and forth a little bit. Excuse me. Again, he speaks about this mystery, and a mystery, as it's described here in the Scriptures, it's no longer mysterious, okay? It was a mystery, but there's revelation. It is a secret that has been revealed, and as Paul said, it was not revealed to previous generations. Again, they understood that to come into a relationship with God, one must convert to Judaism, and one must follow the law, one must be circumcised. And this is actually, this came to head and came to, it had to be concluded, and it was an issue that was brought before the council in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. And we're not going to go there, but I believe that that is the time that Paul spoke about 14 years later. Barnabas and I went to Jerusalem, met with the others there to see what they had to say about this message. And you can actually, you know, read what took place in Acts chapter 15, where there were a whole group of Pharisees that had come and were purporting the message that these Gentiles must be circumcised. They must come under Jewish law in order to be right with God. And Paul and Peter at that point, too, got up and declared what had happened in the household of Cornelius, when the Gentiles received the word and the Spirit of God was poured out on them. They started prophesying. They started speaking with other tongues. Peter said they received the Spirit just as we did. And it wasn't because they had been circumcised. It wasn't because they had become Jews. It was because God had poured out his grace upon the Gentiles as well. So this was something that, it was an issue that had to be settled. And Paul is describing this to the Ephesians here, again, back to the Galatians, especially to the Galatians, because they were having people come among them and saying, you have to be circumcised. Paul got so disturbed about what they were saying. He says, those who say you must be circumcised, he says, I wish they would emasculate themselves. If you don't know what that means, I'm not going to go in graphic detail, but it's pretty nasty. Does your word eunuchs mean anything? Anyway, but it was very disturbing because he was seeing people that were calling themselves Christians, but he said they're really false Christians because they're attempting to enslave us to the law. And so he says this was not revealed to previous generations. So then he shares what is God's plan. Verse 6 of Ephesians 3, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are a part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. So God's plan here, the mystery that was revealed, is that all people were saved by grace through faith. This was a result of Jesus Christ having come to earth, having paid the price for man's sin, And so it wasn't by following a rule or following a law or following the Jewish regulation. It was people were saved by grace through faith. And it says that all are saved, all that are saved are part of the same body. It wasn't now Jew or Gentile, it was now the church. All are part of the same body. And all saved are equally enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ. They enjoy the blessings, the promise of blessings, because they belong to Christ. And then he goes on, that's in verse 6 that he says that. Both Jews and Gentiles who believe the good news were equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are a part of the same body. Both enjoy the promise of blessings. And then verse 8, he uses the word endless treasures available to them in Christ. These are the things that he is revealing. People, it's not that you are born Jewish that makes you good with God. The only thing that can make you good with God is the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, you are treated just as everyone else who accepts this grace. The endless treasures that come from God, the overwhelming blessings that come from God belong to you, not just to a certain race of people, but they belong to you. And this is a universal message. It is for all people, not just one race of people. It is for all people. That is the grace of God. That's his plan. And people didn't understand that plan. Paul had to receive the revelation of that plan so he could share that good news that it is not just to be Jewish is to be right with God, or to embrace the Jewish law is to be right with God, or to be circumcised is to be right with God. It was a completely new message that was revealed to them, and that is, by the grace of God, you have been made right with him through the blood of Jesus Christ, and all the blessings of God are for you. You're all one together. Hallelujah. That was a good message. Back in Galatians chapter 3 in verse 14 then, he speaks about the blessing of Abraham. And you know what? I want to back up to, what verse do I want to start with? How about 10? That's good. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under a curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey the commands that are written in God's book of the law. So it's clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Okay, so just as Abraham was blessed, so we are blessed. And the Jewish people at that time, they were saying, well, we are children of Abraham. That makes us superior over you. And what the revelation that Paul was expressing is, you know what? No one is superior to any others, because through Christ Jesus, you are all children of Abraham. You all receive the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. So specifically, you know, I mean, the blessing of Abraham could be, you know, we could do a whole series on that. But basically, it was that we are justified by faith, not by keeping the law, and that we are promised eternal life, and that we could receive the Holy Spirit. How awesome is that? The blessing of Abraham was so that we could receive the Holy Spirit. And again, no more detail on that than that, because we could get into a lot there. But so that was God's plan. Now God's purpose. He goes on to describe the purpose of God then. We'll look at that back in Ephesians. Ephesians 3 verse 10 says God's purpose in all of this. I don't know if you guys can grasp hold of this or not. Think of it. You know, just pause a minute here and listen carefully. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church. How many of you are part of the church? Okay, so that means you, right? No one is exempt unless you're not a believer, and we can take care of that right now. right? It says God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. There is a magnitude of revelation that Paul received in there that he is attempting for us to understand, to receive his insight when he is writing these things. He says, when you have read what I have written, you will receive my insight into these things. And here's what he's attempting to describe that we will receive the revelation of this morning if we haven't already. First of all, God, his purpose was to use the church, us, to display his manifold wisdom or his wisdom in its rich variety. That word actually means multicolored. And the picture that we get is like the color spectrum, all the way from infrared to ultraviolet. There is a whole spectrum of color. That is like the variety that is in God that he expresses to the body and he expresses through the body. Okay, there is a vast manifold wisdom of God, variety of God's wisdom that he expresses to the body and that he expresses through the body. You know, part of the reality of what we that we see that is in the different types of people that God created. How many of you know we're not all alike? How many of you are glad about that? No, I wish everyone was like me. No, you don't. If everyone was like you, life would be so boring, you couldn't stand it. No, we wouldn't get along, would we? I mean, we need the expressive Bonnies in the crowd to just stir us up, kick us in the seat of the pants, and tell us that it is time to dance. Right, Bonnie? So, you know, and then we need the quiet people that are, you know, very sensitive to what's going on. Just because you're quiet doesn't mean you don't know what's going on. You know, it's quiet, sensitive, and praying for people when people don't even know that you've prayed for them. Or you're not doing it to display anything. You just, you know, there is all kind of variety. There is all the way from infrared to ultraviolet in the color spectrum, and that's what God is expressing himself to the body, the wisdom of God. It's really like the facets of a diamond. There are so many facets, and each one that you look at displays the color of the light that's being passed through it, just like the prism bends the color, bends the light, and displays all this kind of color. That is what the body of Christ is like. And God is using that to display his wisdom, not only here among ourselves, but he's using that to display the wisdom to the unseen rulers. God embodies diversity to his people and through his people, and the purpose of that is to display that to unseen rulers in the heavenly places. This, what he's talking about there is the spiritual forces of darkness. Now, how interesting and how really awesome is that? That God's plan, his eternal plan from the beginning, is to display his wisdom to the forces of darkness, to the unseen realm, and to choose us as the body of Christ to do that. Now, God is intending us to not just show the wisdom of God, but to do some damage with the wisdom of God to these unseen rulers, these unseen forces, the spiritual forces of darkness. And we can see that in the scriptures. Again, we're talking about the works of the devil in the unseen realm where their spiritual activity occurs. God desires these demons would see the glory of his power in the church. This was God's plan from the beginning, to assault the powers of darkness through the church. And we're not going to go into a lot of detail on that, because we will when we get to Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about putting on that full armor of God so that you can stand against the evil one, so that you can stand in the evil day. Hallelujah. I can't wait till we get there. Every time I start preaching in Ephesians, I go, oh, let's hurry up and get to, you know, I can't wait till the last part of Ephesians chapter 3. it's so good. But we'll get there. Just got to keep coming back. But anyway, his plan, God's plan from the beginning was to assault the powers of darkness through the church. And we see this as shared in the scriptures, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, where Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. The powers of hell will not conquer. Why? Because the wisdom of God in its multicolored, manifold ways through the body of Christ is being revealed to the realms of darkness, to the unseen realm, the wisdom of God, which declares the glory of God, which declares the power of God, which declares the manifest presence of God, which declares the authority in Jesus' name, that's being wielded against the forces of darkness. So there's no way the gates of hell or the forces of darkness can stand up against the church and win. That's the plan of God. There is no way. You got to understand this, people. There is no way that demonic powers have power over you. And see, you know, you may say, well, you know, I don't deal with demons. You know, we kind of had this conversation a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about, you know, dealing with issues and, you know, demonic and people that are affected, people that are in spiritual bondage. You know, there's a whole lot more of that demonic stuff going on than we acknowledge. And the reason why we don't acknowledge it is because it is unseen, just as described in this passage of Scripture. It is unseen. It is of the spiritual realm. But that does not make it unreal. And so we have to receive the revelation of the reality of the spiritual realm, the unseen forces, and to know that God has chosen us to deal with those forces in an overwhelming, victorious way, revealing his wisdom, revealing his ways, revealing his power to those unseen forces. People, when you're praying with other individuals, specifically people that are not saved, you will very likely be dealing with... Not that you have to go all goofy and say, come out of him, devil! You leave that! You know, there may be some of that go on. You know, the spiritual forces will sometimes, and we've experienced this personally, that you get the presence of God in a place, and the presence of God comes through you because you are the temple of the Spirit of God. And so the presence of God comes through you, and all of a sudden, demonic forces reveal themselves. You know, it's just like the spirit and the man who came up, bowed at Jesus. Jesus, have you come to destroy us before our time? You know, it's like those spiritual forces knew the authority that Jesus carried, and they were afraid that they were going to be destroyed. They revealed themselves to him. And, you know, we've seen some of that same kind of stuff happen. And so just be ready, because you're carrying the presence of God and you're carrying the authority of Jesus Christ, you might just stir up stuff. So be ready to deal with it when it comes. Don't back away afraid. Ah, oh, that wasn't that person's voice. Ah, those aren't that person's eyes. Ah, I don't know what to do now. Yes, you do. You stand up with the authority of Christ Jesus, knowing this, receiving this revelation that as you read it, you will understand Paul's insight into this reality that God has, from the beginning, planned to manifest his multi-variety, multi-colored wisdom through you to those demonic forces. That doesn't put you on the defensive. That puts you on the offensive. People, you got to do that with your own self too, because, again, because it's unseen, you kind of leave things like, well, I'm just feeling depressed today. I'm just overwhelmed emotionally today. You don't know how many times that you are overwhelmed emotionally, and what's happening is there are spiritual forces of darkness that are oppressing you, put you down so you're rendered ineffective. You got to stand up against that kind of stuff and say, bless the Lord. No, in Jesus' name, I am more than a conqueror. Romans 8:37. Overwhelming victory is ours. Overwhelmingly conquerors is how that's described in Romans 8:37. So we need to understand who we are in Christ, and that God intends to manifest his manifold wisdom through us to the unseen realm. Well, again, we'll get into more of that when we get into Ephesians chapter 6. But I wanted you to see that. This is God's plan. His plan from the beginning was to assault the powers of darkness through the church. Now, here's something that's just very, very precious. It's like we go from one extreme to the other. We go from warriors, conquerors. We're in spiritual conflict and warfare and winning in that spiritual conflict and warfare. But we go from that place to the presence of God. Confident access, verse 12. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart. Because of my trials here, I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. He says here, because of Christ and because of our faith in him, now we can boldly and confidently come into God's presence. I'd like you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 through 22. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Look at this, how awesome this is. It says, boldly enter heaven's most holy place. We have confident access. The reason we have that is because Jesus opened the way. He opened the way through the curtain, the veil which was his flesh, the veil that was rendered on the cross, and the expression of that being the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. God ripped that veil open, declaring that all men now had access to the presence of God because of what took place there on the cross. Jesus was crucified on the cross. He was the veil that made it possible, that was torn, that made it possible for us to go into the presence of God. Let us go right into the presence of God then. And it says we are cleansed by Jesus' blood. Now this is what makes this verse, this next verse, so very, very special to me. And when you hear me pray, praying for people's needs, a lot of times you will hear me pray this, again, praying the scriptures back to God. Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, where we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. See, there is nothing to keep us out of God's presence. Again, you may consider, well, what about my past? What about the things that I have done? You know, Paul said, I'm the least deserving of any to receive this revelation. I am the least of the apostles. I am the chief of sinners. And yet how special he was to God. Before he was born, God had chosen him. And see, it is not our sin that keeps us from the presence of God, because our sin is resolved. The issue of our sin that separated us from God was resolved through the blood of Jesus being shed for us. So we, because of that, and because of the forgiveness that we have, yes, we need to confess our sin when we have sinned. We need to confess our sin. And God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We do need to confess our sin. But our sin does not prevent us from having access to God's presence. And so particularly in our time of need, or when we're praying on behalf of someone else, I always pray this way, Lord, you have given us access into your presence. You have invited us. Let us come boldly to the throne of gracious God, of our gracious God. You've invited us to your presence to receive mercy and to find grace in our time of need. We, as an act of our prayer, intercede and usher this person that we're praying for into your presence, Lord, for them to receive grace, for them to receive mercy in their time of need. And we can have that confident access again because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, again, how awesome is that? So here we're going to, I'm going to encourage you in this photizo moment to have an illumination with the image of your purpose. And I wanted to put all these things down in your notes, just listing them out as I am here, but I didn't have enough room. But they are all in your notes, so just spread out. But we are blessed even as Abraham. Get that picture on the inside of you. we're blessed even as Abraham. And if you want to go back to Genesis and read about Abraham and see all the ways that he was blessed, go for it. Hallelujah. Again, it's another series. Blessed even as Abraham. Take another picture. We're a part of the diversely gifted expression of God in his glory and wisdom. Okay, he chose the church in his manifold wisdom to express his manifold wisdom. Even the worst of sinners can be brought into this blessing of God as revealed by Paul. He says, I'm the least worthy to receive this. A conqueror against the forces of hell. Get that picture of yourself. You're not only a conqueror, as the scripture says, more than a conqueror. The gates of hell will not prevail against you or against the church. And that we have confident access to God's presence. People, get a hold of these pictures. Get these pictures so that they can be developed. Get the negative on the inside of you so it can be developed into the picture that God has of you, to attaining the potential that God has for you. See all the wisdom that is in these scriptures, all the revelation that comes from these scriptures here, and apply them to yourself so that you can begin to develop these things and they can be expressed through you. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just offer these things up to you. Again, I trust that your words have come clearly this morning, and that we will have received insight, as Paul said in his word, in the word that he wrote, Lord, that we would be able to receive insight as we read it. I trust that that has happened by your Spirit here this morning. And Lord, let us receive these images that you have described in these words so that we can display them. Those images can be developed on the inside of us, and we can display these images. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For the interaction time this morning, just a few questions that you can discuss at your tables there. First of all, how does it make you feel to know that you have been blessed by God as Abraham was? I mean, that's what it says there. And how does it make you feel to know that God has chosen you to express his great variety of wisdom to the demonic forces? I mean, does that just stir you up just a little bit, you know, and lift you up a little bit to say, you know what, I am bigger than they. The greater one is in me. I'll just let you get sure about that. How does knowing the fact that you have confident access to the presence of God affect your daily life? Or maybe the question is, do you have that confident access? You need to get that picture of there's nothing that prevents me from having that access to the presence of God. And how will that affect you on a daily basis? So in the name of the Lord, you are dismissed to enjoy the fellowship and the interaction.